You'll open your Bibles to the book of John, chapter 5. I want to begin this message on the four great witnesses with verse 30. The two statements that our Lord makes here in verse 30 and verse 31 that need to be observed carefully and to be interpreted most carefully. In verse 30, the Master says, I can of mine own self do nothing. I can of my own self do nothing. What's he talking about? What the Lord is saying here is that the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are together in works, word, and purpose. What the Lord is talking about is the unity of the Godhead. He is saying this, I can do nothing independent of the Father and the Holy Spirit. I can do nothing separated from the Father. What the Father does, the Son does. What the Son does, the Holy Spirit does. I can do nothing of myself apart from the Father and the Holy Spirit. He says, I seek not mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. Now we say God cannot lie. God cannot sin. We're not implying any weakness in God, any lack of power in God. And when Christ said, I can of my own self do nothing, he's not saying that he lacks the power. He's not saying that there's any weakness in him. We're saying that his nature will not enable him to do anything apart from the Father. He and the Father are one. When we say that God cannot lie, we're saying that God's nature will not produce a lie, that God is truth. I hear people often saying God is a God of love. That's not so. God is love. God is not a God of love. You're implying there that God is over here and love's here and God shares in it. Love is God. God is love. There's no love apart from God. I was riding behind a car one day and the sign said, God is alive. That's not so. God is life. Apart from God, there is no life. God is life. When you're saying God is alive, and evidently the person that put that on his bumper thought he was bragging on God, thought he was witnessing a good witness. That's not a good witness. You're saying that God is alive, and I'm alive, and George is alive, and the angels are alive, and somebody else is alive, and we can be alive apart from God. There is no life apart from God. God is life. That's not even a good witness. And when you say God is a God of love, that's not a good witness. It's not even so. God is love. And what Christ is saying here, I can do nothing of myself. My nature will not enable me to do anything of myself. I and the Father are one. The nature and person of Christ, being one with the Father, can do nothing independent of the Father. God cannot lie. God's truth. God cannot sin. God is holy. You see that? God is holy. God is life. God is love. God is truth. And John, look at verse 19, back in the same chapter, John 5, 19. Then answered Jesus and said to them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. The Father and the Son are one. I can of my own self do nothing. And then John 16, 13. Turn over there just a moment. Listen to this scripture. John 16, 13. Christ is talking here of the Holy Spirit who is to come. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, John 16, 13. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he'll show you things to come. the Son and the Father and the Spirit, all one, all speaking the same words, all doing the same deeds. I can of mine own self do nothing. And what the Lord is talking about there is the unity of the Godhead. I can do nothing independent, separated from the Father. What the Son does is the work of the Father. Now, the second statement that bears some observation and careful interpretation is verse 31. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. Now, we must interpret these words with great care. It would be foolishness and it would be blasphemy to charge Christ with false witness. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. Now, whatever he's saying here, he's not saying that if he's the only one that says anything, it's not so. Now, here's what he's saying. If I have no other witness, if I have no other testimony to present in proof of my messiahship, if all I have is my own word, if that's all the proof that I can present that I am the Christ, if that's all the proof that I can present that I am the Savior, is my own word, if that's all the proof that I can present that I am the Redeemer, my testimony would be open to suspicion. But he goes on and says, I have other witnesses, verse 32, there is another that beareth witness of me. And I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true. That's the Father. But now, Christ is saying here, I have impeccable witnesses. His and their witness is true, and you do well to listen to them. And tonight, I'm going to present to you the four great witnesses that Christ calls upon. He said, now, if all you have is my word that I'm the Messiah, if all you have is my word that I'm the Christ, if all you have is my word that I'm the Redeemer, my testimony would be open to suspicion, but I have other witnesses. And he presents them one at a time. There are four of them that he brings forth. And you'll notice as he presents them, they grow in greatness. Now, first of all, he says, John the Baptist is my first witness. Verse 33, you sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. You sent unto John. Now, if you go back to John chapter 1, you'll see the incident to which our Lord's referring. He's talking here to the Jews, to the Pharisees, and they did send a group of people to John the Baptist. And in John 1:19, it says here, and this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem, John was down in the wilderness preaching. And it seemed like the whole world was gone after him. Even Herod, the ruler, went down to hear him. And these Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem down to see John, and they came down there and they asked him, who are you? Who are you? Verse 20, and he confessed and denied not, but he confessed, I'm not the Christ. I'm not the Messiah. I'm not that prophet. And they asked, well, what then? Are you Elias? And he said, I'm not Elias. Well, are you that prophet? Are you that prophet? Over in Deuteronomy 18:15, the Lord said to Moses, I'll raise up among the people a prophet like unto you. Him they shall hear. Are you that prophet, the one we look for? Listen. And he answered, no. And they said then, who are you, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? You sent unto John. These Jews sent this group of men down to ask John, who are you? And they said, now tell us who you are, that we might go back and give an answer to those who sent us. What sayest thou of thyself? And he said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. as saith the prophet Isaiah. Now the next day, turn over a page. The next day in John 1:29, John was standing there. Whether these Jews were still there or not, I don't know. But the next day, John, seeing Jesus coming unto him, saith, Behold, look, there is the Lamb of God. There is the true sacrifice for sin. Look, there is the true Passover. Look, there is the great atonement. There is God's Lamb. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin, beareth away our sin, by taking them on himself. Our guilt was laid upon him, and he beareth it away. As the scapegoat was turned loose in the wilderness, Jesus Christ our Lord took our sins in his body, and on the tree he bore them away. Behold the Lamb of God, which beareth away the sin of the world, both the sin of the Jews and the Gentiles. Now read on. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And John said, I saw and bear record, this is the Son of God. That's my witness. They said, Who are you? He said, I'm not the Christ. They said, Are you Elias? I'm not Elias. Well, who are you? I'm just a boy. The Father sent me to bear witness of him whom God would send. And then when he saw Christ coming, he said, There he is, the Lamb of God that beareth away the sin of the world. I saw and bear witness that he is the Son of God. That's the first witness. Now turn back to John 5. You sent unto John, and he bore witness of the truth. Now look at verse 34. But I received not testimony from man. What Christ is saying is this. I don't have to rest my claim on a man's testimony. I don't have to. John the Baptist, any other man, John the Baptist, Christ said, was the greatest man born of woman. Of all born of woman, none greater than John the Baptist. But I do not receive testimony from man, John the Baptist, or any other man. But I'm saying these things to you that you might be saved. Because he was a burning and a shining light. You recognized it. You acknowledged it. And you were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. And he bore witness of me. His whole testimony was Christ. But I have a greater witness than John. Now that's the first witness. Who is he? Who is he? John the Baptist said he's the Christ. He's the Lamb of God. He's the one who has come to redeem his people from their sins. Here's the second witness. Christ said, But I have greater witness than that of John, for the work which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, they are my witnesses that the Father hath sent me. Now, Nicodemus knew this. In John 3:2, Nicodemus said, listen to him. He said, No man can do the miracles you do except God be with him. We know you come from God. We know that. These miracles are undeniable. We know that you come from God. Nobody could do what you do except God be with him. Nicodemus saw that. The Pharisees knew that. Turn to John 11 and listen to these religious leaders in John 11:47. John 11:47. Then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council, and they said, What are we going to do? This man doeth many miracles. If we let him alone, all men will believe on him. Why? Because of the miracles which he does. They couldn't deny that these miracles were a witness, a certain witness that God was with him. And when John the Baptist turned to Matthew 11, when John the Baptist sent two disciples or some of his disciples to inquire of the Lord Jesus if he really is the Christ. And this is what our Lord sent back to John. He quoted Isaiah 35, 4 through 6. Listen to Matthew 11, verse 2. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said to him, Art thou he that should come? Are you really the Christ, the Messiah? Are you really the Redeemer? Or do we look for another? And Jesus answered and said unto them, You go and show John again those things which you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. The evidence of our Lord's miracles must not be lightly esteemed. They are proofs of his messiahship. Now there are five things that must be noted about our Lord's miracles. I read in the paper every once in a while how that some unusual miracle has taken place over in some foreign country. A statue of Mary has some real tears flowing out of its eyes, and people go there from everywhere, you know, and to see. And then some little girl sees some miracle, and then I read about the divine healers that are going all over the country, and somebody's cured of cancer, and somebody's cured of poor hearing, and different things of this nature. You read about these things. I was listening to the radio the other day, and a preacher on the radio claims the power to raise the dead. He told how that a baby was in his service, and the parents, the baby had been dead 3 or 4 days, and the parents brought the baby to the service, and he prayed, and suddenly the baby came back alive again. But now there are five things that need to be noted about our Lord's miracles. Now watch this carefully. This will help. First of all, the number of his miracles. The miracles which our Lord performed were not a few isolated miracles. They were not a miracle that happened one day and 4 years later another one, or 100 years later another. They were very, very many. Everywhere he went, people were healed. There were miracles going on all about him. Everywhere he went, there were many, 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 many of them. Now, the second thing about them, their greatness. The blind actually saw. The deaf actually heard. The lame actually walked. And the dead actually came out of their tomb after they had been dead several days and their bodies rotting. They came out of their tomb. These were undeniable miracles because of their greatness. Now, the third thing about his miracles is their publicity. These miracles were not done way off somewhere in a corner. It was not something that people read about. It was not something that one person saw. But there were thousands of witnesses to every miracle that our Lord performed, even his enemies. Even these religious leaders sitting up there in their ecclesiastical towers had to admit, as they said, what are we going to do? This man worketh many miracles. Even his enemies had to admit that he did what he claimed. Now, the fourth thing about our Lord's miracles, their number, there were very many. Their greatness. The blind could see and the lame could walk. A man who had been on a bed of affliction for 30, 40 years got up and picked up the bed and walked out of there. And thousands of people saw them. They didn't hear about them. They saw them. They didn't read about them, they saw them. And then the character of his miracles. And this drops the bottom out of these so-called miracles today. The miracles that our Lord performed were never just proofs of power. Never were. His miracles were always miracles of mercy. Always works of love. Always miracles of compassion. Not a stone statue crying. Who benefits by tears coming from a stone statue? But a son raised and given back to a mother. A lame man made to walk. True service to people. That's what our Lord's miracles were. They were not just proofs of power. God doesn't have to prove his power. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork. Why should I stand up here and lay hands upon some person with a backache to prove there's a God? He couldn't have walked down here without God. He couldn't be living without God. Every miracle which our Lord performed was true service to people. Miracles of mercy. And I'll tell you something else about them too. I read where these fellows heal people and they say, now you're healed. The man says, well, I can't see any better. Well, the symptoms are still there, but you're healed. You just go on and you count it done. I'll tell you this, if it's done, it's done. When Christ healed somebody, they were healed. It was certain. It bare examination from the best eye doctor in town. He could see. He could see. These Pharisees, after our Lord healed that blind man, they said, is this your son? Is this the fellow that sat by the gate all the time begging the blind man that sold pencils down here? Is this your son? They said, that's our son. Well, they said, he can see, can't he? They said, he said, I was blind and now I see. And Christ called these miracles the works that my Father gave me to do. Turn back to John 5 and look at it. And these are witnesses. I have a greater witness even than John the Baptist. The works my Father gave me to finish, the same works I do, and they bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. That the Father hath sent me. All right, the third witness now, just greater as we go along. He said, John the Baptist told you who I am, and the works that I do, they bear witness who I am. Now the third witness, John 5:37, and the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. There are many ways that the Father hath borne witness to the Son. Now, there are a lot of disagreements about this particular verse, but I say there are many ways in which the Father has borne witness to the Son. First of all, the Father sent the angels to announce his coming. The angels are God's messengers. They're ministers to the heirs of salvation, but they're God's ministers and they're God's messengers. And he sent his angels to Mary, and he said, that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. He sent his angels to Joseph and told Joseph, fear not to take unto thee Mary to be thy wife, because the Holy Spirit hath begotten in her a son, and that son shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. To the shepherds the angels came with this message, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill unto men. We bring you glad tidings of great joy unto you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior, Christ the Lord. Then when our Savior was baptized, the Father spake at his baptism and said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And then at the transfiguration of Christ, the three disciples with him heard the Father say, this is my Son, hear ye him. And then in John 12, turn to John 12:28. Are you familiar with this scripture? The Father spake again. In John chapter 12, verse 27, Christ said, now is my soul troubled, And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The Father bore witness at his crucifixion. The veil was rent in two from top to bottom. That's the Father working. Darkness was over all the land. The sun did not shine as our Lord suffered on that tree. When he died, the rock quaked and broke as an earthquake came upon the earth, and the dead arose. And then when our Lord ascended to heaven, the Father sent the angels back down here and said to the disciples, this same Jesus which is taken up from you shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go. Now back to our text. Christ said, let me go back just a little bit. I can of my own self do nothing. I and the Father are one. What he sent me to do, I've come to fulfill. Now, if I'm the only witness to that, if I'm the only one that tells you that, it's open to question. But I've got other witnesses, impeccable, infallible witnesses. John the Baptist, you know him, Christ said. He bore witness of me. But I don't need a man's witness. I have a greater witness than John the Father. The works God gave me to do, I've done right in front of you. The miracle. You've seen the lame walk and the dead raised and the blind see. You've seen those things, but I have greater witness even than the works that I do. The Father himself has borne witness of me. But now wait a minute. Verse 39, I have another witness. Search the scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life. But they are they which testify of me. He said, Brother Man, do you think that the scriptures are the greater witness? Yes, I do. You'd think that a voice from heaven would be the greater witness. But Peter says that the scriptures are a better witness and a greater witness than a voice from heaven. Turn to 2 Peter 1. Now watch this. 2 Peter chapter 1. In fact, while you're turning to that, when that voice came from heaven and said, I have glorified it, I will glorify it again, the people that stood by and heard it, some of them said it thundered. Some of them said an angel spake. So you see, a voice from heaven, even though it is the voice of the Father himself, when folks get through with it, and they tell it down the road, it wasn't the voice of the Father, it was the voice of an angel. It wasn't the voice of the Father, it was thunder. But now look at 2 Peter 1. And you and I don't know how to be thankful for this book as we ought to be. Now listen to 2 Peter 1, verse 17. For he was, he's talking about Christ, we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Verse 17, 2 Peter 1. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Now, Peter heard that voice. He was on the Mount of Transfiguration when Christ's glory was revealed. And this voice which came from heaven I heard, Peter said, when I was with him in the holy mountain. But we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. He just said, I came and I told you about what I heard, the voice. You have my word for it. But the Scripture, the prophecy didn't come in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And you don't take just Peter's word, because Peter says the same thing Isaiah said. You don't take just John's word. John says the same thing Paul said. You don't take just James' word. James says the same thing that Moses said. The Scripture is not of any private interpretation. The Scripture is given by the Holy Spirit, and it's absolutely infallible, inerrant, undivided. Now look back at our text, John 5. Christ said, "Go and search the Scriptures." Underscore the word search. This is something I looked at for a while the other day. Go and search the Scriptures. Christ is saying here, examine them. Become really acquainted with their contents. The word search means more than read. Somebody said, "Well, I read the Bible." Christ said, search the Scriptures. Search means more than read. It means to dig. It means to digest. It means to examine. Search the Scriptures, for they testify of me. They reveal me in prophecies. They reveal me in promises. They reveal me in typical persons. They reveal me in sacrifices. They reveal me in sin offerings. They reveal me in ceremonies. And all error in regard to redemption, eternal life, salvation, and Jesus Christ is because of ignorance of the Scriptures. Turn to 1 John 5. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. John says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life. These things have I written unto you, that you may believe on the name of the Son of God." That's why they're written, to bear witness of Christ. So our Lord said, "I have four great witnesses: John the Baptist, the works that I do, the Father himself, and this divinely inspired word bears witness of me." Now in conclusion, I close. Verse 40, "And you will not come to me that you might have life." Christ said, in the face of all these witnesses, none greater than John the Baptist, "You are willing for a season to rejoice in his light. He bore witness of me. He told you who I am. The works that I do, Nicodemus, you said yourself, no man could do the miracles I do except God be with him. You Pharisees, you had a meeting up there one day in one of your studies, and you acknowledged that I worked these miracles. People saw them. They were complete miracles. They were great miracles. There were many miracles. They had many witnesses. You know that. You saw. You heard the voice from heaven. Some of you went off and said it thundered. You know it didn't thunder. You know God the Father spoke. You know that wasn't an angel. You know God bore witness of me. And you can look in the Holy Scriptures and you'll see me in every page, in every chapter, in every paragraph. But even in the face of all these witnesses, you will not come to me. You remain unmoved, unbroken, untouched. But let me point something out to you, and I want you to go away with this thought tonight. Unbelief does not arise so much from want of evidence as want of will. I think it over. Christ didn't say here that you didn't hear the witnesses. He didn't say here that you didn't believe the witnesses. He didn't say here that you didn't listen to them, you didn't see them. He says you saw them, you heard them, and you will not. And you will not. We're all by nature separated from God by sin. Spiritual life, by God's grace, is laid up for us in Christ. He's the fountain of life. He's the bread of life. He's the water of life. In order to receive benefit from Christ, we must come to him by faith. But the real reason why men do not come to Christ is the lack of will. You will not come to me. Look at verse 43. I've come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. Let another come in his own name for his own glory, and him you will receive. Most fantastic thing. If I didn't have the Bible to show it to me, I'd never believe it. But a preacher can come with all kind of gimmicks. He can come with all kind of confusing claims. He can come with no proof whatsoever of what he's saying. He can ignore the Word of God. And he can get the disciples to follow him by the thousands. But just the plain gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel of redemption, the gospel of substitution that calls a man to do business not with a preacher, not with a priest, but with God himself. And people won't come. Our Father in heaven, use the message to accomplish thy divine purpose. We believe and assure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. We know that the Lord Jesus Christ is our only Redeemer, and loved us and gave himself for us. And our hearts cry to thee for our brethren is that they might be saved, that thou would work in them the will to receive Christ, the will to follow him, the will to believe on him and him alone. And use thy word, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by thy divine word. For Christ's sake and in his name we pray. Amen.
First thing number 222.